Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's pray. Father, we are dependent upon you. We just ask, Lord, that you'll enlighten our minds and anoint, Lord, this part of the service. We're just trusting you, Lord, to speak to us through your word. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a newspaper editor who decided to print the Ten Commandments, one commandment each day for 10 days straight. He just printed one of the commandments, and after he had printed all of the Ten Commandments, after that 10 days, someone wrote him a letter and said, "Cancel my subscription. Your newspaper is getting too personal." Whenever you read and you study the Ten Commandments, it starts to become personal. You start to feel the work of God's law that begins to deal with you about the areas of your life that you maybe do have idols in your life. Maybe you have allowed other things to become too important to you. Maybe the Lord's Day has been neglected in your life, and so it becomes personal. So as we go along here, I think each service, it will become more and more personal. And that's true of this message here this morning, honoring your father and your mother. I think we all are very much aware of the fact that as a whole, when you look at the nation, the United States of America, that there is a great decline in the morality of our nation. And there is a moving away from the principles of the Word of God and the law of God. We're moving away from that. We've come to a place now that it's very much like it was in the days of the judges, that men are doing what is right in their own eyes. They determine what's right. They determine what's wrong. It's not based upon a principle, as we know, is revealed in the Word of God and in these commandments that God has given to us, these commandments as a foundation. He has given to us these commandments to provide us with a stability and a structure for every area of our life, including relationships within our homes and our families. So morality is something that it's not something that is changing. It's not something that changes with the times or the culture. But we believe in absolute truth as it is revealed in the Word of God. Amen. We do not believe in moral relativism. Moral relativism is just simply deciding what you think is right, what you believe is right. And that's not biblical. As Christians, we are people of the Word of God. We believe the Bible. And we are to live our lives by the guide of the Scripture. I remember people using this phrase, and I may have even used it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It sounds pretty good, but on further thought, really, God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or not. It's settled. God's word is the final authority. It is the final rule and guide for our life. We believe that the Scriptures are inspired of God, that they are infallible. It means there's no error in the Word of God. And if you'll build your life upon the principles of the Word of God, that's the best possible life you can have in this world, as it is built upon the principles of God's Word. Whenever a family or a community or a nation rejects the principles of God's Word, then there is trouble. There is problems. There are difficulties that arise that much like we're facing today in the United States of America, because the Bible is gradually being moved out. It's like an archaic religious writings, and a large majority now, more than half of people in America, do not believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. That's where we have come to now. Now, we've gone over this just about every week, but the first four commandments that we've already covered, those first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. But today, we're starting with the fifth commandment. Remember, we salute the fifth commandment. And this commandment has to do with our relationship with our neighbor, with our fellow man, and even in particular, our family and in our household. And so the commandment says to honor your father and your mother. Now in Leviticus 19 in verse 3, it's another reference to this commandment, but it's worded just a little differently. It says, ye shall fear, this is Leviticus 19 and 3, ye shall fear every man his mother and father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And so in this new, this additional reference to that commandment, it puts the mother first. In the one in Exodus 20, it puts the father first. I just conclude that really your parents are to be equally honored. They're not exactly the same. Their roles are different in the family and in the home, but they are to be equally honored. Amen? Amen. Now, it's a spiritual matter that I think all of us have to really consider, and that is that within the framework of the family, which was divinely instituted by God, we know that God instituted one man with one woman for life. Amen? And that from that union, as God wills, that there would be children and there would be an extended family that would be considered the blessing of the Lord upon that couple. And that's the design of God. That's the plan of God. That's the family. That's the home. And but in the home, the children first begin to learn about their understanding, and they gain their first concept of who God is by their relationship with their father and their mother. They begin to pick up their concept of God from their relationship with their father and their mother. And some of you may be saying, well, my father wasn't there for me, or my mother wasn't there for me. Some of you may have been raised up by someone else other than your actual birth mother or father or family. And I understand that that's true, and it's becoming more and more the case in the world that we live in right now. But the fact remains that God is, we are to honor our father and our mother, and that if there's no father or mother in your life, then the Bible says that God has promised to be a father to the fatherless. That whenever you, that God will step in and fill the vacancy. And that God will not only fill the vacancy, but he will use the church, the body of Christ, to fill the vacancy of the absent father or mother. And the scripture says, pure religion, James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That the church really acting out in pure religion, that they give of themselves and they invest in the lives of those who might not have a natural father or mother in their life. That happens, but the church is to step in there and to help and to provide, to minister to them, to help them in that area that they may not have in their own natural father or mother. Now, you know, the family is important. Now, I know we live in Southeast Kentucky, and it's different here than it is in many other places. I know it's hard for you to imagine that, but this is an area of the country that is extremely family-oriented. You can go to other parts of the country, and you don't see signs all around the county, you know, Johnson family reunion this way, or so-and-so family reunion that way. And several times during the year, people are, their faces are missing from the congregation because we had a family reunion today. We had to go there. We had to go there to be with family. Now, I know you think that's normal, but it's not normal everywhere in this country. A lot of places around this country, it's not, that doesn't happen. family is not as important as it is in other parts of this nation. We had family reunions, some as I was growing up in Oklahoma, but it was nothing like it is in Southeast Kentucky. So you got to understand that. And when you move from somewhere else here, it takes a while to get used to the whole idea of a family reunion once or twice or six times a year, however many times that some of you all unite together and reunite with your families. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think that family is important. It's important to God. It's an important thing. And within the confines of the family, there are many, many spiritual lessons that are taught and learned. I do believe that children, if they do not learn to function in a biblical way in their family, they're going to have difficulty when they move out of their family out into the world. If they're having trouble in school submitting to authorities in school, then it's probably because they haven't learned how to do that when they were at home. If they're having difficulties on their job with relationships and getting along with people, the home is like this unit that God has designed where you learn how to get along with people, you overlook their weaknesses, their faults, their failures, you love them, you're committed to them, and you learn how to submit, you learn how to adapt. You learn all these relationship skills within the family. And that's why that the enemy attacks the family. That's why he wants to destroy marriages and families and children, because whenever he breaks down the family, then he is able to do great damage to the entire culture. That's where we are in the United States of America. When large percentages of people in our nation now have grown up with either a single parent family or in many cases a family that's so dysfunctional, they don't know how to function, they don't know how to live, and so they haven't had the instruction or the encouragement, they don't know how to work. They don't know how to submit. They don't know how to get along with people because the family structure has been completely deteriorated. That's where we are in our nation. Your family has to be a place where you see it as a priority. You see it as a priority of your life. And it certainly should be a spiritual priority. There's a lot of people who could say of Noah, well, he was a big failure because preached 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years, and not one person responded. That whole generation drowned in the flood, except for his family. His family, they went on the ark with him, and Noah built an ark for the saving of his household. I'm not saying that we should only be concerned about our family, but I think that it's God's will that we have a priority of our family, that we teach them, we instruct them in the ways of the Lord so that they can become what they need to be in the world and have the influence on the world that God has designed for us to have. Amen. So what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? To look at those words both from Leviticus and from Exodus 20, the word to honor is the Hebrew word kabob, which means to be heavy or weighty. It just means that you highly esteem them. You highly esteem them as something and someone very, very valuable in your life. And then from Leviticus, the word to fear, the Hebrew word is mara. It means to revere or to be in awe of them, to have high respect for them. So when you put those two terms together, that it is the will of God that you highly honor and respect father and mother in your life, and that's something that is instilled in your life all down through the years of your life, and you grow up with this great heart of respect and appreciation, and you elevate them to a place of great honor. Amen. That's the place they deserve to be in, and that is the will of God. Now, this commandment is reaffirmed in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. Again, it's reaffirmed in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. And so really one of the most important things about honoring your father and your mother, it begins with learning to listen and to obey them. Learning to listen and to obey your parents. Now, first of all, let me just say that this fifth commandment is not a commandment where God just stopped Moses and said, okay, there's going to be 10 of these commandments. Number 5, this is going to be the kids' commandment. No, this commandment is not just for the little kids. This is a commandment that, of course, has its impact upon children and young people. And as we grow older, all the days of our life, honoring our father and our mother all the days of our life is what God intends. Amen. All the days of your life. The word here, to obey, it means to hear under. To hear under, or to respond to their authority, to be subject to their authority. And when they learn, this is a basic principle, when a child learns to humble themselves and to subject themselves to their parents, then they will do so in Sunday school, they'll do so in their classroom, in school, they will respect authorities, they will not look at a police officer with disrespect. They will look at every person with a great level of respect. Though that becomes a part of their whole demeanor, their whole spirit, their attitude, is they learn the importance of listening and responding to authorities. Honoring them is obeying, is listening and obeying those that are in authority. Amen. So it's important on the job. You can't function on a job unless you're able to listen to the individuals that are your supervisors, your bosses, those people that are directing and are leading, leaders on the job. You must listen to what they say and respond to that. You learned it, first of all, when you were a little child, when your mother said, no, don't go there. No, don't do that. No, you can't touch that. And you learn to submit, and that becomes a part of your spirit, an understanding of how to submit and how to humble yourself and respond to authorities. And there's never a place in your life where you get away from this. No matter who you are or how important you are, you always will have those that you need to respond to, those that you need to be accountable to. And anyone that's not accountable in their life is a danger to them, their own self, and to their own character. All of us are to live our life, and of course, ultimately, we are to be under the authority of the Word of God and under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever role or position that you are in life, your most safe and the happiest place you can be is learning to humble yourself and to submit to those who have authority over you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we learn to obey in family, in our jobs, in schools, with government, with in the church structure. In every way, we learn the importance of submitting to authority. Humbling yourself is realizing that you are not always right, and that many times God places people in your life to help you, to lead you, to give you wisdom and counsel and instruction. And those authorities that God has placed over your life, submit yourself, because you don't always know. You don't always know what's right. None of us are always right. We always are in a position that we need the counsel of those that God places us under. Amen. So you learn this in the family. You learn this whenever you learn to honor your father and your mother. You say, well, how long does this last? I mean, do I keep doing this all the days of my life? Obviously, when you grow to adulthood and you have your own home and your own family, the relationship changes. It's because you develop a whole complete new structure of authority in your own household. But that doesn't mean that you do not continue to honor and to respect and even to take counsel from those that God has placed in your life. Your father, your mother can still have a very powerful role in your life, even in your adult years. Amen. Many times, I would ask my father or my mother, even as a pastor, I would say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Not only was it good for me, but I think it was good for them. I remember my dad would, he was a quiet person, but I think it meant a lot to him that I would just say to him, Dad, I really don't know what to do in this area. What do you think? What's your opinion about this? Many, many times over the years, I would call on Brother Huff and ask him, what do you think about this? I remember one time he said, well, I want you to know, he always called me V. That was his nickname. Brother Huff always had a nickname for everybody. And he called me V. He said, well, V, you've picked a pretty hard profession to be in. And I said, I didn't pick it. This was the Lord that did this. And so he was a little bit sympathetic, but also he would offer me counsel and advice and help. And I remember over the many years, and even the years that Brother Huff was at the radio station, the door up there of the radio station was a constant flow of people, even other younger ministers in the community and different people in the community that would go to him because they viewed him as an elder, and they would go to him and ask him, what do you think? What's your advice? What do you think? And that's the proper type of respect and honor that we are to have for our fathers and our spiritual fathers that God has placed in our lives. Amen. So really, you never come to the place that there isn't this relationship of honoring and respecting your parents. Even unsaved parents, many times God has given to them a concern for you and a level of wisdom that even an unsaved parent many times can offer to you good sound advice in many areas, maybe not related to spiritual things, but you'd be surprised at how that they will offer good counsel to you. So honor them. Never stop honoring them. And then a little word to fathers. The scripture says in Ephesians 6 and 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Also in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And with that, I'll just say, make it easy for your children to come to you. Don't be so severe in your dealing with them that they know, if I go to them, I'm just going to get it again. I'm going to get a long lecture. I'm going to get bawled out again. And even if I do pretty good, they're always going to say to me, well, you did this, but you could have done this. Don't, fathers, don't frustrate them. Don't frustrate your children. Make it easy for them to submit to you and to come to you. And don't discourage them, but instead encourage them. And that will cause them to want to come to you and want to submit to you, to love you and to love your counsel. Amen. Amen. Then you say, yeah, but my father or my mother wasn't there for me. Or they didn't live a godly life. They were wicked in their life. And they didn't serve God or know the things of the Lord. Honor them anyway. Honor them in the role that they play in your life, that God has given to them. God puts you in their family. And God gives to them even an opportunity whereby you can honor them. And that will be an opportunity even for you to demonstrate your humility and your willingness to submit to them. And remember, it's the position that they're in. Many times you would walk in before a judge and you would say, Your Honor. That would be a required way that you would respond to the judge. You would speak to him and say, Your Honor. And he might be corrupt. He might be a wicked judge. He might be far from a judge that judges righteously, but yet you still recognize his role and his position of authority. Amen. So the same is true for those that are in your life. Fathers, encourage your children. Bless them. And for every word of correction you give them about 10 words of encouragement. Amen. Encouragement. And bless them with your words because it means so much to them to hear words of affirmation from you. So always associate or always give to them with the correction. Give them hope and give them answers whereby that they are able to find hope and to be able to see that there is a way that they can do the right thing. So you honor them in the role that they have. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. That's an important verse of scripture. Paul told young Timothy, remember, he was raised up likely by his father was absent, he's not mentioned at all, by his mother and his grandmother. They were the godly influences in his life. And Paul told Timothy the children, the nephews, let them first learn to show piety or to show their commitment to God, their religion, let it show up at home. Their piety, let it show at home. And requite their parents. The word means pay them back. Many times when our parents get elderly, that it turns around. And they spent 18 or 20 years paying all your bills and taking care of you and wiping your snotty nose and doing everything for you all the days of your life and giving you gas money and taking care of, and they spent all those years. And sometimes in the elder years, it turns around and you requite them. You pay them back. Amen. Brother Charlie Bowman, be encouraged. You're doing the will of God. It's not easy. I know it's difficult. And many of you who have taken care of elderly parents, while there's a great challenge and it's difficult, at the same time, you are honoring the Lord and you're paying close attention to the word of God to show piety at home and to requite your parents, to pay them back, to honor them in the latter years of their life. Told you it'd get personal. Amen. It gets personal, doesn't it? Amen. Here's an interesting thing in a verse of scripture that you may have not paid much attention to from the book of Mark, chapter 7. The Pharisees and religious leaders, they had developed a practice that was not a biblical practice. They had a practice, and actually some groups of Jews and other religious groups, even to this day, still follow this same type of an idea. Let's read here from Mark 7 and 9. And he said, he's talking to the Pharisees, he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. They were more concerned about their way of doing it than God's way of doing it. Verse 10 says, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and who curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That sounds pretty serious. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corbin, not Corbin, Kentucky. It is Corbin. That is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. What's it talking about? It was a Pharisaical practice that was developed when they loved to give their offerings. They loved to bring and make a show of what they did. And so the word Corbin there is really referring to the treasury. It was the room or the place where they kept the offerings that were brought to the temple. And what they had done is they had developed this practice, and I understand that some Orthodox Jews do that even today, that if they have brought their offerings to the temple or to God, that they make a vow and say, since I have done this, I've paid my dues, I don't owe my parents anything. And that's what he's saying there. He's saying, you bring your offerings to God. You do this for God. You worship God. And you say, it is Corbin. I've given my offering. Or I've done my part. But you neglect the commandment of the Lord. That is to say, a gift by whosoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. They follow this practice. You give a certain amount, or you offer yourself in ministry or service to the temple, and it's like they were saying, it's Corbin. I've paid my dues. I don't owe my family or my parents anything else. God is saying, no, that's not true. You're a command of God to honor your father and mother in all the days of your life. And you can't make a deal with God and get out of this responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 12, and you shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. That's what they did. It was like, I'm buying my way out of this responsibility. You don't do that. It's a commandment of God that all the days of your life, you have a certain level of responsibility, and certainly to honor your father and your mother. Amen. So what about our relationships in the church? And how does that work? Well, the Bible, we talked about the family and the value and the importance of the family and the home, but the church is also a training ground, isn't it? It's also a training ground where we learn about relationships. There's a lot of people that can't get along with anyone. They can't. It just does. Everywhere they go, they have conflict. They have problems. And they always are saying it's their fault. They did it. I can't get along with this person. Then they move to the next job. I can't get along with that person. Moved in the next job. I can't get along with that person. After a while, get it figured out. It's not them. It's you. You're the one that's causing the problem. You're the one. That's where the conflict is. So the Lord has provided the home as a divine institution where you can learn about how to work in relationships. And he's also provided the church also. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Well, the scripture calls the church, another title for the church is the household of faith, the family of God. Notice how we're to deal with one another. Also, Paul speaking to Timothy. 1 Timothy 5 and 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. That's the way our relationships are to be in the church. Amen. That you don't rebuke an elder. You don't call an elder into question. And when you come to an elder, that you treat him with respect. You treat him as a father, respectfully. And you come to him with that kind of a attitude of honoring and respecting the elders, the men of the church. I mean, don't come and point your finger at Jack Bright and say, you're wrong, buddy. You did wrong. You do that, you're dishonoring the word of God. He's an elder in the church. He's a man to be honored. He's a man to be respected. And many others that are a part of the church fall into that same type of position because we treat them as a father. Amen. And then the younger men as brethren. They're like our brothers. Isn't that true? They're like our brothers. We treat one another as you would family, brothers. That's the kind of relationship that we have. Now, I have two brothers, and we're as different as can be. My two brothers, you could get them here and say, come up here and say something in the service. And neither one of them would do it. They would say, no way. I don't get up in front of the church and talk. I don't do that. They're good, faithful Christians. They always go to church. They serve the Lord. They're faithful in church. They just wouldn't do it. We're as different as daylight and dark in many, many ways. But I do know this, that if I'm in need or if they're in need, we're there. That's the way it is with brothers. My brothers heard that I was having this little heart deal going on tomorrow. Immediately, my brother was on vacation in California. I mean, I got a call and I couldn't hardly figure out how he'd found it out so quick. He called in the Redwoods out there somewhere. And what's going on? What's wrong with you? What's happening? And that's the way it is. Isn't that the way it is in the family? That's the way it should be in the family of God. That the younger men are to be treated as brothers. The elder women as mothers. The elder, and be careful who you call an elder woman. But those that fit in that category, you treat them as mothers. And now I really don't recommend that men should be hugging women or women men in the church. I just say, don't do that. But I do, because it does say that your relationship with the women should be like your sister, and it should, in all purity, be careful in your relationships. But every time I would go to the nursing home to see Thelma Amberger, she'd just grab on me and hug on me and pat on my back, and because she was a spiritual mother. Spiritual mother. And many of the elderly ones, you know, your relationship is different with them than it is with the others. The others, the other ladies in the church are like your sisters, men and women. They're your sisters. Sisters in the Lord. And so you treat them with that kind of a relationship. And in that kind of an environment, just as it is in the family, so is it true in the church, that you learn more lessons about how to have relationships with people in the proper way. So when you go outside on the job and in school and you interact with people in the community, it should be that the Christian brothers and sisters are the ones that have the highest character, the highest morality, and everyone says of them, that person can be trusted, that person deals rightly and righteously in their relationships because they've learned it in their family and they have learned it in the household of faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whoa. Okay. Let's close it out here. This is the first commandment with promise. The first commandment with promise. That it may be well with thee, this is Ephesians 6 and 3, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Does it really mean that? Absolutely. It means it. It means that your life will go better when you follow this commandment. That doesn't mean you won't have any problems. It just means that you're going to have special help from God. Things are going to go well with you. God, do the right thing in your relationships, in your family, and in the church. It will go well with you. Honor your father and your mother, and your life will be longer. Your life will be longer. Amen. How important is it that we learn to obey, learn to honor, learn to respect our parents? Well, along in Romans chapter 1, there's this list of all these wicked, evil things that would characterize those who were living as a reprobate. Romans 1 and 28. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Right. What is it that people do that God would categorize them as reprobate in their mind? Filled with all unrighteousness, verse 29. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. That is a bad group of people there. But then the very next thing says, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Right in the same category of murderers and thieves and inventors of evil things. Honor your parents. I just want to throw this in. I don't know if this really fits with the whole topic or not. I think it does. I was raised up in a family where there wasn't a lot of screaming and yelling going on. It just didn't happen. My mom and dad did not yell at one another. And I visited other people's homes as a young person. And only to my shock, when suddenly the parents of these friends of mine would go into this tirade, yelling at one another, even throwing things at each other. I mean, temper tantrums, screaming and yelling. And I was caught back. I was so shocked by that. And I've witnessed that a few times over the years. But I just want you to know, that has no place in the homes of Christians. That has no place in the families of people who serve God. Get control of your temper. Get control of your emotions. Understand that your home is an environment where the family is learning how to live for God in this world. Honoring your father and your mother and building a relationship whereby you're able to live in such a way as to please God in all that you do. Amen. Praise God. Honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I don't remember what birthday it was when Sister Evie Smith, one of her birthdays way up there, Zach was kind of little, and we would repeat to him often because of his disobedience. We would repeat to him often that scripture. Zach, you are to obey your parents. You are to honor your parents. And I'm sure he's got that verse down because we repeated it 100 times or 200 or 300. And then we'd say, that your life will be long. And it kind of shook him a little bit. And I remember when Sister Evie Smith had one of her, I don't know if it was her 100th or her 95th or one of those birthdays. And he said to us one day, he said, wow, she must have really obeyed her parents. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We know, Lord, that you're concerned about your people. You're concerned about each family, each home, and each one of us here today, that we are to follow the word of God. Help us, Lord, to live according to the truths of your word. I thank you for that, Lord, and ask you to minister, Lord, to each person here today. Work among us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see the value of obedience to your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord.